Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedules, to join me this morning on my podcast. Today is Monday, May 15th, and I'm continuing on the themes from my two books about the Holocaust. Last time we gathered together, I read from my book, The Promise, We Will Meet Again, and the scene was in Auschwitz with Hannah meeting with an outside person, the daughter of the German officer who didn't tell his family what he was doing to the Jewish people in this camp. And it was a very powerful scene. Today I want to read from the sequel to The Promise, Beauty from the Ashes, The Promise Fulfilled. In this book, Hannah has reunited with her long-lost friend Rachel after 40 years of being separated through the dark days of the Holocaust. And together they go to a bookstore, and Hannah discovers an old diary in a box of books and finds out this diary is her brother's diary, who they separated from during the Holocaust. They were trying to climb down the sewers to get to the other side of the Warsaw Ghetto, and Ethan, her brother, had just stepped down to go to the other side when the Germans arrested his family. And Ethan, the story of Ethan is in this book via the diary. Now, the scene I want to read to you this morning is a scene where Hannah is going to Israel to try to find her long-lost brother from this diary she recovered that was his. And along the way, she confronts the demons in her life by returning to Auschwitz, where one of her dearest friends perished. And this morning, I'm going to read this short section. It's a powerful section. The reason I'm reading it is we need to learn to confront the demons like Hannah does, the demons of our past. And the way that we confront it is through the grace, strength, and mercy of God. And so as I read this morning, I want you to think about not just the story that I've written, but think about the trauma of your past, or maybe the trauma that you're currently facing. And together we're going to find hope and strength in the Lord. I am reading now Return to Auschwitz, chapter 13 of the sequel to The Promise, Beauty from the Ashes. The dark rain clouds swirled overhead. Hannah buttoned up the collar of her gray raincoat and tried to keep warm as a cold mist splashed across her face. She was all alone and face to face once again with the camp of death, the hellhole that devastated the lives of millions of innocent Jews, Auschwitz. Her stomach churned. She felt nauseated and trembling with fear, but Hannah knew she had to finally confront the demons that had stolen her life so many years ago. The steel front gates, faded and chipped from the many years of weather and erosion, still announced in big, bold letters, Auschwitz, Birkenau II. Below the welcome sign was Arbeit macht frei, meaning work brings freedom. Hannah steadied her balance and leaned against the steel gate, feeling dizzy. Auschwitz was anything but freedom. It was a pit of fear, death, and oppression. It was a place of unimaginable cruelty where the crime of the century had taken place. Composing herself, Hannah took a deep, agonizing breath and struggled to continue. Passing through the front gate, Hannah gazed at the endless barbed wire fence that surrounded the death camp. The guard tower still stood, towering above the fence, broken and displaying years of weather erosion. Hannah remembered that near the end, many prisoners, despaired of all hope, hurled their bodies against the barbed wire and were instantly electrocuted, ending their lives and escaping from the horrible, unjust suffering. The ground was still muddy. Hannah remembered the endless hours of standing in the rain and cold for roll call until every prisoner was accounted for. Many of the prisoners, weak and ill, collapsed from standing at attention and died from exhaustion. In a matter of minutes, Jewish prisoners were ordered to dispose of the bodies and haul them away in a wooden cart. Hannah stopped. Drops of cold rain splashed across her face. The air was becoming cold. Hannah bundled up in her rain jacket. In the distance, she could see row after row of the blockhouses out across the muddy grounds. The blockhouses were converted horse stables where thousands of prisoners were crammed together, sometimes four to a bunk, in filthy and poor-heated death houses. Hannah gazed at the palms of her hands and remembered the cracks, the sores, and the blisters that tormented her from breaking rocks and bricks every day. The hard labor began at 6 a.m. and lasted sometimes until 7 p.m. that same night, enduring back-breaking intense work with very little food and water. She witnessed many of her friends collapsing and dying from disease and exhaustion after laboring 13 hours a day. It began raining harder. The wind was whipping across Hannah's face. She bundled up tightly in her raincoat. Over to her left was an ominous and painful sight. Hannah gazed at the steel railroad tracks that ran up to the entrance of Auschwitz. Although faded by the weather and many years of soil erosion, the steel tracks still shined as a grim reminder of the thousands of Jews that were transported like cattle from far away in Warsaw. Hannah stepped closer to the tracks, remembering how the Germans with their guard dogs seized the passengers out of the freight cars and divided them into two separate lines, one line for hard labor and the other line to immediate death in the gas chambers. Hannah recalled how she and Sophie fortunately were pushed together in the line for hard labor. "Oh, Sophie," Hannah mumbled to herself in tears, her voice trembling. "I miss you so much, dear friend." Hannah moved on toward the barracks. It was much too painful to dwell at the train tracks any longer. Bundling up against the weather, Hannah pushed the door open to the barracks. She walked inside and switched on a ceiling light. In front of her were old wooden barracks laden with cobwebs and spiders. The bunk beds towered three high up toward the ceiling. Hannah steadied herself against the railing of the bunk bed, overcome with grief. She remembered sleeping on top bunk with Sophie and three other women squeezed together. Hannah could still hear the moaning, the cursing, and the coughing. Many of the other women were sick from not having food and water for three long and agonizing days in the freight cars. Tears of sorrow streamed down her face. She rubbed her eyes and began to pray, crying out in grief to Hashem. She remembered praying and comforting Gabriella the first night at Auschwitz, Gabriella had watched her sister die in the freight car. The next morning, when she had tried to wake up Gabriella, she remembered how cold her body was to touch. Gabriella had died during the night. Hannah stared down at the walls next to the bunk beds. Many prisoners had written or etched messages on the wall. Welcome to hell. There is no escape. There is no God. There is no way out of here. Hannah turned her head away in despair. She felt an empty bitterness and sorrow flooding her soul. Facing her demons was much more overwhelming than she could have ever imagined. Hannah had to move on quickly. Stepping out of the barracks, Hannah was relieved to see that the rain had stopped. She looked ahead in the distance. There was a two-story building with chimneys on the roof. Hannah immediately recognized it. It was the place of hell and death. Sophie had been brought here that one awful, grim, and rainy day. She had been escorted here with 50 other women to be gassed. Hannah grabbed her chest in anxiety. She felt her heart flutter as pains shot across her chest. She didn't know if she could endure any more, but going inside, she had to do this. Hannah wanted to once and for all confront the ultimate dark chambers of horror. Here is where her best friend died over 40 years ago. Hannah had to go and be with her this one last time to say goodbye and find closure. Shortly before the war ended, when the Germans realized that they were going to lose, they destroyed most of the buildings containing the gas chambers in order to conceal their sick and despicable crimes against humanity. However, there was one building that still remained standing at Auschwitz, testifying to the unspeakable crimes that the Germans committed against innocent Jewish people. Hannah turned the handle on the door and walked inside. It was ominously quiet and vacant. She heard the sound of her shoes squeaking as she stepped onto the shiny linoleum floor. Aside from a few dim ceiling lights, the corridor was shrouded in a dark and eerie glow. There was a sign and an arrow pointing toward a door, indicating the location of the shower rooms where people were gassed. During an execution, a person was appointed to stand on the roof above and drop poisonous pellets down a metal chute, landing on the floor of the shower room below. Men, women, and children were ordered to strip naked and herded together into a fake shower room. Within a few minutes, tiny pellets struck the floor, and the room was engulfed in a poisonous cloud of gas, slowly suffocating all of the naked victims. Intense screaming and yelling can be heard above the shower walls as the victims desperately tried to breathe and to stay alive. The ominous sound of footsteps descending down the stairs sent chills up and down Hannah's spine. She couldn't believe she was actually going down in the basement where thousands of Jews were murdered, and yet Hannah knew that she had to do this. Reaching the bottom, Hannah gazed at the dark and cold concrete walls. There was a tiny shaft of light above, illuminating the cold, death-like basement. Hannah was seized by cold chills as she stared ahead at the door in front of her. This was the room of death, the door that led to the shower room of merciless executions. Hannah began to tremble with fear. Behind that door was where her best friend Sophie bravely struggled for survival more than 40 years ago and lost that battle. She had no chance of survival. She had been led like a lamb to the slaughter. Hannah stood in the dark corridor surrounded by four cold, cracked concrete walls that seemed to stare back at her as if she were the next victim. Suddenly, Hannah felt trapped. Sweat rolled down her forehead. Her heart began to race. Sophie, Sophie, Hannah cried out. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Hannah covered her face in tears. She couldn't open up the door. She felt guilty for being so broken and afraid. I wish I could have been here with you, Sophie, and held you in my arms one last time. Please forgive me. Then in the midst of her agony, deep down inside of her spirit, a voice seemed to rise up and get her attention. Hannah, the voice gently said, beckon her. Hannah, the voice said again. Hannah struggled to compose herself. Hannah, listen to me. Don't be afraid. Don't be sad anymore. Hannah slowly began to quiet down and stop sobbing. Yeshua? Hannah replied. Yeshua? Is that you? Hannah, don't be afraid of this dark place. In this dark and evil place over 40 years ago, I was here. I was with Sophie. Suddenly, Hannah stopped sobbing. A river of peace seemed to pour down over her and cleanse her soul. She was no longer afraid. In her dying moments, I held Sophie in my arms. She is no longer afraid. She is now with me. Tears of joy flooded Hannah's eyes. Yes. Yes, Yeshua. She is with you. Hannah, I know all about pain and suffering. I experienced rejection, betrayal, and an excruciating death. Hannah, I gave my life for you and for Sophie and for millions of others. I embraced the worst of pain and the worst of suffering for your forgiveness. Hannah, don't weep or be afraid. I love you with an everlasting love. I am bringing beauty out of the ashes of your suffering. Hannah fell to her knees on the cold, hard concrete floor in worship. In the midst of her intense suffering and pain, Yeshua had visited her in the hellhole where Sophie had died. All of the hurt and brokenness had suddenly melted away. Hannah felt healed and restored once again. She now knew that it was time to move on. Isn't this remarkable? Yeshua, that is Jesus, visited Hannah in the hellhole where millions of Jews died and where her best friend died. Isn't this like our Savior to go through the gates of hell to rescue us? And this verse came to my mind as I was reading this, and I want to share with you in the trauma of your suffering. This is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We are not alone in our suffering. Jesus suffered immeasurably more than we could ever imagine for our salvation, for our forgiveness. And he was with Sophie in that hellhole in her dying moments and brought her home to paradise. We need to know that we are not alone. Hannah confronted her demons of Auschwitz, and Jesus delivered her from the pain and the memories of that trauma. I'm praying he will do the same for you. This is a song of worship by Carrie Jobe. I am not alone.
appeared in the storm.
Beautiful promise of worship from Carrie Job, I am not alone. I don't know what you're facing today. It's not important that I know, but God knows. And he wants to reassure you that you are not alone. What I read to you today from Isaiah chapter 43, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. This is what the Lord God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, promises you and reassures you. Now, I dealt with a serious question on our last broadcast of why would God even allow this incredible suffering? And not to go back over all of that, but there is a purpose in suffering and a reason, and if there wasn't, then it would be ludicrous and in vain. But out of the ashes of Auschwitz, one good thing, if you can say that, was the rebirth of the nation of Israel. I know that doesn't answer all of the questions we may have, and this is a very complex and difficult question, but we know from just history, God restored that nation. It stands as a reminder today that he does indeed bring beauty out of the ashes of the chosen people of Israel and their suffering. That is just one, if you want to call it a silver lining, I don't like to use terms like this because there is no way that we can ever explain this horrific suffering except what our Savior suffered in order to save us, to deliver us, and to forgive us. It's unimaginable suffering. And in this life, this is the end of suffering. For those that trust in Yeshua, after death, it's the beginning of a glorious new existence with him. But if you don't know him in this life, then the suffering is only the beginning. There is an eternal conscious place called hell, where those that reject the free offer will spend, and that's horrific. I hope today this broadcast has brought hope to you. For those of you that are confronting the demons of your past, this book will be available within the next several months. I'm republishing it, reformatting it, and rewriting it. It will be available up on Amazon in the near future. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the broadcast. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Monday on the cross, or Thursday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.